Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our 106th podcast on this February 25th, 2021. Loss and win limits. Yeah, I said and win limits. Hey, we'll explain. We're going to go right to a call from California, that Sunshine State. Okay, hang on. Here comes John from Central California.
Coach Fab, this is John from the Central Coast of California. My question today is regarding money management, particularly your win-loss limits for a certain session. I know when I walk up to a table with whatever the bankroll is for that session, I'll set a loss limit at half my bankroll. If the dice are really bad, I'll just stop if I've lost half of it. In watching Color Up videos with Jeremy, I know he runs through his bankroll once just to see where he is. But the other question is, I wonder what you do for a loss limit, and also, do you set a win limit, like a certain percentage, or if you double your money? Just curious. Enjoy the podcast. Also, I enjoyed your book that you just put out. Have a great day. Bye.
Wow, John. Hey, thanks. That was a great call. I want to clarify, I always say Central California, I should say. Coastal, the center coastal part of California, which, you know, John, probably, I guess it's prerequisite growing up on the coast. You have to know something about the Beach Boys, man. That was the group that I really did. I really dug that group, man. I dig it. And, you know, and it's Let's Go Surfing Now. Everybody's learning how. You name it. You know, there's just so many good songs. You know, the California scene in the 60s with the Beach Boys. Oh, man, that was something else. Good vibrations, right? Well, anyway, I envy you some days, particularly because it's 1 degree outside. It's a sunny day here in western Pennsylvania, but it's 1 degree outside. I'm making the best of it. But this is such an important topic. I decided to dedicate a major portion of the podcast to it once I got your call. Let me begin by saying there's room for creativity in creating a loss limit or a win-loss limit system. I don't think there's one right way. I think it's the way you feel comfortable with. And so just gleaning from your call, I think you're saying that when you lose one half of your buy-in, you know, you think it's time to stop. Not necessarily go home, but it's time to stop at that table, walk away. That's so important because, you know, if you go to casinos and blow your money constantly, if you're on a vacation and you just even like a 3-day thing, 2-day thing, and you in the first 3 hours you blow your budget, you don't have any money left to gamble. But, you know, you need to have some responsibility, all of us do, when it comes to recreational gambling. But I want to tell you where I differ with your idea. I think Jeremy Ellerick is a lot like you in that, you know, it's probably half his buy-in and he's out of town. Goodbye. But I go in for the highest amount possible that I can. And it's not about, and I have a loss limit probably like you. You know, if I lose $300, I'm done, you know, for that session. Maybe not for the day, but for that session. But why do I go in for $1,200 or $800 or $900 when my loss limit is $300? And that's because of comps. I want to make myself noticed immediately. I'm not just, you know, another dude going to lose $50 and go home. You know, I'm going to put, you know, $1,000 worth of chips in front of me most times and sometimes more than that. I have no intention of losing $500 or $600, none. But the first bet I make will be one of the biggest bets of the day. Usually it's with coupons because, not always, but usually it's with coupons and I can make even bigger bets because they're kind of doubled, you know, with coupons. But why do I do that? Like, why do I make a big bet early? And that's because I want to get the attention of the person who's tracking my play. I mean, you know, I might break even. I might win a little bit or lose a little bit, but I want comped, you know? And part of the point of my first book, Craps Across America, and I should have titled that Playing Craps Across America. I guess so much kidding about that, was that if you break even, but you're comped meals and your comped rooms, you want. And so that's the first thing I do. I go in for a lot of money, and I make early big bets. And then the second thing I do is I tip the dealers right away, because they're going to be on my side. And I'll make it like a public thing. Oh, it's time to tip the dealers. You know, you got to give to receive, something like that. So I'm a little different that way. Again, in most sessions, it's $300 I'm committed to, but it has nothing to do with the amount of chips in front of me. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, my system 321 craps. This is not craps talk. It's coming later in the podcast. But the idea of putting $15 behind the line as an odds bet behind the pass line on a 6 or 8, or $10 on a 5 or 9, or just $5 on a 4 or 10, is just all part of being a low roller. And, you know, some people scoff at that. But when you play craps as much as I used to do before the pandemic, you know, if you're going to be at a casino hanging out 3 days a week, you know, unless you're a multimillionaire, you better have some reason to enjoy playing craps at a lower level, which I do. I do enjoy playing craps at a lower level. Not that I won't refuse to play at a higher level, because I have, obviously. But I enjoy playing craps at a lower level. So here's the mistake that craps players make, and I think gamblers make. It's not about how much you bet. That's not an indication of how much you know about craps. It's not about that. You know, so you got people throwing around $800, $900 on bets and on the table. And it's not about that. And I'll give you an analogy. I know two poker players, professional poker players, and both of them have won at one point or another $500,000 in the poker tournaments in Vegas. And they're national names, but I'm not going to use them, but I'm telling you the truth. I know them well. And here's the thing I'm going to say. What do they do when it's not, you know, a poker championship? Where are they? What do they do? Well, despite the fact that some years they win several hundred thousand dollars playing poker professionally in tournaments, when they're not doing that, and when they don't have a $500,000, $600,000 a year, they're sitting in poker rooms waiting for tourists to come in. And you can't compete with them unless you get cards, you know, all the time. But they don't bet big. They don't want to identify themselves. They don't want to chase people away from the table. They are confident. They know how to play poker. They understand the game. They know how to read people. And they just bet at a level where you're betting. And they clean up, you know. I'm going to just say, like, I'm pretty happy when I make $600 a day. What's wrong with that? Doing something you like. One of them told me that he only drinks water, too. That's the other thing, because he said he didn't want to become an alcoholic and drink beer all day, you know. So he just drinks water. And, you know, that's how seriously he takes it. And so don't make the mistake of saying that I got a bit big because I don't want people to think I'm a novice. No, that's not true. That's not an indication of what you know. Hey, there's no better example than Jeremy Ellerick. I mean, Jeremy, how many systems of play in craps, whether it's a hybrid system where you're playing both from the dark side and the light side, you know, and a dumb pass and a pass, or whether it's a pressing system, how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of systems Jeremy Ellerick has put on YouTube? And yet he'll tell you without hesitation that he's a very low bettor. He knows a hell of a lot about craps and craps betting systems, but that's not where he gets his joy, you know, betting big. So nothing wrong with betting big, but don't. It doesn't mean you know so much that you're in class by yourself. It might mean that you're one of the foolish ones at the table, because you shouldn't be betting the bets you are with the table doing what it's been doing. So that's big. So I go in for a higher amount to start than most people do, although my loss limit is very much like yours. It's, you know, generally $300. And the other thing is, you know, I have friends that I play craps with them. I love them. They're great friends, but when they blow a grand, they're so pissed off. Like, they're so angry. It's, and I say to them, like, why do you bet like that then? They said, oh, yeah, but there's days I win. I said, sure. But look at the days you don't win, how upset you get. You know? They pound the table. They kick, you know. They push a bar stool and, like, I hate this damn game. You know what I mean? So, it, like, why do it? You know, go with something you can handle. The second part of your question about win limits, there are people listening and saying, what are you guys talking about, John? What are you talking about, a win limit? Well, I'm going to go and review that. I certainly agree to that. You know, you might lose out sometimes, but that's very seldom. One of the things I learned from a craps dealer at the Frontier, which, of course, doesn't exist. Places that I used to go that don't exist, that's pretty common. But the Frontier, I played craps there. I played 10 hours, 12 hours, 13-hour games. And one of the dealers told me, hey, pal, if you fill up two rows of chips and craps, that's usually as good as it ever gets. Get out of the game. And I know that's I've gone beyond that, but I think if you fill up two rows of chips, put one row in your pocket. Come on, man. You know, put one row in your pocket. But there's a lot of truth, because here's the danger in craps. Okay, say you have, just for a demonstration, say you have $600 on all the point numbers. The point numbers 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. So, you know, every time you roll, you can win. Maybe if you have bought the 4 and 10, you can win $200. You know, you can win more than $100 every time you roll, you know. But remember, if you seven out, you lose $600 a shot. Some buddies of mine that are dealers at one of the three or four casinos in Western Pennsylvania that I play at, I told them I was going to Rocky Gap, and they met me there, and this is what they did. There were two of them there, and this is what they did. They bet $60 on every number. And the first shooter, you know, when I was there, the first shooter that I saw, I wasn't betting that kind of money. You know, they had $360 on the table. Went about 19, 20 rolls, man. They were happier than hell, man. Now, they did lose $360 eventually, because they don't take it down when they win so much. But they still were ahead. But there was a cold spell on the table, and they both got knocked out of the game. I mean, $360, two rolls, bang, seven, 360. Yeah. You just won $120, but oh, you just lost 360, you know? And that, if that keeps happening. So one reason to quit when you're winning is because in the game of craps, you got a lot of money on the table sometimes. And that's why we use the idea of going off on your bets. They put chips, a little chip that says off, or just bringing your bets down and waiting till the next shooter. You know, one or the other. Sometimes you have to do it. But sometimes when you've been playing a long time and, you know, you're up $1,400 and you're thinking, you know what? That's enough for today. The last two shooters stepped out early. It's time for me to leave. That's a sign from the universe. Yeah. What's that book title? Take your money and run. You know, there's times you have to do that. So I agree, John, with you that you should have both. You should have a loss limit and you should have a win limit. I asked Janie, talking about, she's a slots player mostly, and I asked her about that, and I said, how do you approach it? And she said, I usually go 15 spins at a machine, and if I don't get any action, I move to a different machine. And I said, well, what about, you know, per visit to the casino? And she said, well, it depends. If we're staying at a casino and we're going to be there 2-3 days, then I have a daily loss limit, you know? So if I lose a third of it at breakfast, I'm going to stop, because I know I'm going to play in the afternoon and the evening too. So that's her idea, like using a third now and then another third, and, you know. And I said, well, what about if you win? And she said, well, if I win it back, then I just start over, you know, because I like to play. So for her, it's not so much about how much money she wins. It's about how much she enjoys the day. And I think there's a lot of people like that. So get the attention of the dealers by tipping early, make big bets early, and go in for as much as you can carry with you, you know. But don't lose half of it. No, just get their attention. And I get a lot of the pleasure out of staying for free, eating for free. And I'm honest, I still have to pay resort fees, you know, and taxes, but it's a lot better than paying for the full cost of the room. And sometimes, even when I don't stay overnight, you might think this is funny, but I'd still get a room. And, you know, because, you know, it's private, could get washed up, relax, calm down, you know, have a cup of coffee and and just wriggle up the bed and call in the next day and say, hey, I checked out. That sounds silly. That's what I did. Because I don't want, you know, I want to use the comp. Because, you know, you generally speaking, the way my comps work is you're going to get so many the first half, so many nights the first half of the month and so many nights the second half of the month. And I got a lot of them give me 10 nights a month. That's pretty cool. You know, first 2 weeks you get 5 nights. The second 2 weeks you get 5 nights. Then you might get the first 2 weeks you get $75 food credit. Second 2 weeks, $75 food credit. And that's all because of what I do, I think. And I mean, it's not about winning all the time in craps. It's about how I pretend to be a big roller, a high roller, a big well, when I'm not. That, you know, so. And when the dealers are getting tipped, they're all in on it too, buddy. They're helping you out because, you know, you're getting the money and you're getting other people to tip them. So that's what I do. We're going to move into our second segment, which we call Odds and Ends, and then we'll close out today with Craps Talk. And in Craps Talk today, if you're a new craps player, it's all about you. It's like, how does Casinos USA teach people to play craps? So I think you might enjoy it. So we'll be right back, and we're going into Odds and Ends. Well, here's some information for you. Archaeologists. Oh, archaeology. Oh, come on. They have determined that people were playing games, like sort of like board games with dice and gambling, possibly, as long as 6,000, maybe even 10,000 years ago. There was a 5,000-year-old grave in Turkey where people found small stones sculpted and painted to resemble animals and other shapes, along with dice and tokens made of shell. And they think, the archaeologists believe that these were game pieces. So, if you have the same disease I do, recreational gambling, it's been on the planet a long time. Well, thinking about how common and ordinary casino trips are for most people in the country, during the pandemic, I was watching the stock market. That's something I've always done, and following Penn National. Penn National has places everywhere. You know, the Tropicana, you know, and the M, obviously upscale the M in the Las Vegas area, but all around the country. If you look up Penn National, you'll see, I don't know how many casinos they have, but it's probably close to 60 or at least 50. And I go to several of them right here in Western PA, the Meadows. We go to Charlestown, West Virginia, Hollywood there, and it goes round and round. And Penn National's everywhere, particularly where there's racetracks and casinos, you know, put together. They're getting away from that, but that's what they're associated with. But I was watching their stock, and it went down almost to $4, and I said, oh, something's wrong, and it started to climb again, and it was at $5 exactly, and I bought 60 shares of it. Well, I sold it this weekend. It was $115 a share. Because Penn National is a great company. I like how they run their casinos. They're clean. You're comped well. They're fair. And I just thought, there's no way it's going to stay at $5. So how about that? That's part of the attraction. You know, I guess I'm a capitalist. You know, is that a bad word? I hope not. But I'm just pretty happy about that. So, odds and ends. Janie and I are not breaking up. We're breaking out because on February 20th, we received our second vaccine shot, Moderna. They're actually the same as the first shot and the second shot are exactly the same. It's just that the CDC believes that you can't get one shot because it's too much virus at one time, you know, so it would overwhelm your body maybe. And In the second shot, this is the day after the second shot when I'm recording, and my arm's sore, maybe a tiny headache, but you know what? We feel so liberated. We feel so thankful. You know, I'm praying for everyone who wants to get a vaccination shot. It's so hard to do. We were just lucky. We were so lucky to get appointments and to find places. And, you know, with the weather, a lot of places all over the country, the vaccines aren't arriving on time. And people, you know, it's life and death matter. Like, we're senior citizens, you know, I'm proud of that. You know, I'm not ashamed of that at all. And, you know, my PCP, you know, my doctor told me, hey, Fab, at your age, at your wife's age, not getting vaccinated, that could be a death sentence. And it could be, you know, so what a sense of liberation. Don't say to anyone, I don't know if I'm going to get a vaccine. Get a vaccine. Get vaccinated. And if you're struggling to get on, keep the fight. You know, keep working on that computer. Keep refreshing. I went close to 9 hours to get the appointment, the first one. The second one was easy because they just send it to you and tell you, you know, it's today. Make an appointment for today. And that was simple. So get it done. And that's probably the most important thing I'm going to say in odds and ends. But I'm not done yet. This third item is just to tell you how casinos were hurt by the pandemic. I'm just talking about Pennsylvania because I have a connection to their information by, you know, I subscribe to it. The people that monitor and regulate the casinos in Pennsylvania are saying that revenues dropped by $759 million in Pennsylvania. In 2019, they generated a little bit more than $3 billion, but in 2020, they dropped, and you know, all bets are in now because we're in February for 2020, they dropped by $759 million. The casinos that were hurt the least are the ones that had sports books and, more importantly, sports betting apps, legal betting apps. And of course, they, you know, do all kinds of things to get you to sign up. They match your first deposit up to $500 or sometimes up to $1,000, you know, those kind of things. And my last item for odds and ends, then we'll go to crab stock. We have a Facebook group. It's in the 600s and people that are subscribed to it, and it's free. It's go on Facebook. It's Casinos USA, written as two words. And we post every day, and sometimes people post as well. And as long as it's about gambling and it's, you know, wholesome, yeah. It's not pornography. We have some people like that too. Oh, my goodness. Why do they join? You know, they put a provocative picture of themselves and say, I'm here for the dates. I'm here for the pickups. Come on, man. You know, we're not an escort service. I have to block them and get them off. Come on. Well, anyway, I subscribe to a lot of newspapers digitally around the country and one out of Denver, Colorado. So a guy's driving his Dodge Silverado, right? That's a Dodge truck, isn't it? He's driving his Silverado, and he's low on gas, so he sees a gas station, he pulls in and fills it up, and he goes in and he wants to buy a $20 ticket that he plays, and you know, a scratch-off ticket, and they're sold out of the one that he plays, so he buys another one that he never plays, and he goes out to his truck and he scratches it off, and it was actually a $30 ticket that he purchased. Yeah, I never played this one. I'll try it. I'm not making this up. This dude wins $10 million on a scratch-off ticket. One of the best, one of the biggest scratch-off wins ever. Talk about turns of fate. First, he's almost out of gas. Finds a gas station. His normal $20 ticket's not available because they're just sold out of them. Buys a $30 one he never played before. Goes out to his truck, sits down. Now he's $10 million richer. Don't you just love gambling? Don't you think maybe someday it'll be me? Okay, we'll be right back for Crab Stock and how does Casinos USA teach people the game of craps. Get ready for the countdown, because it's coming.
3, 2, 1.
So So the first thing that I recognize in teaching somebody completely new to the game of craps, a novice, totally new, is not to go to a casino with $500 and say, I just want to learn. And there's no need for that. You know, our buddy Jeremy Ellerich says that all the time, and I say it too. I mean, there's no need for that. You know, let's learn something about the game before we go. And so I'm going to go with you, and we're going to try to teach you the game of craps without putting any money at risk, or just very little money at risk. First of all, the board is so complicated. Let's face it. I mean, it's like my neighborhood now, but it's so complicated. So you need to talk about the board and talk about the lines. And the two lines would be, in a regular craps table, the pass line and the don't pass line. And that's where I want to start. And so what I would say is, let's say we're at a $5 table, which is pretty rare now during the pandemic, but just for demonstration purposes. I'm going to say, you know, when you have a come-out roll, that's the beginning of a new game, and explain the puck and how the puck works. You know, when it's established point, the puck's on top of that number on either side of the table. When it's white and when it's a new game, the puck is to the left and it's black. So the next roll would be the come-out roll, or the first roll of a new game. And so on the come-out roll, if you have money on the pass line, 7-11 wins. If you have money on the don't pass line, you lose. If a 2 or a 3 or a 12 is rolled and you're on the pass line, you lose. And the don't pass wins on a 2 or on a 3, and it's a push or just nothing happens if it's a 12. So I tell you to put $5 on the pass line, and I put $5 on the don't pass line, and we just sit and watch. That's the first thing I want you to understand about this game of craps. It makes it so different than a computer chip, you know, in a slot machine. In that, if you bet the pass line, and I'm not talking about odds behind it yet, just if you have a place bet, excuse me, if you have a line bet on the pass line and a bet on the don't pass, one or the other is going to win that game. It's not that, you know, the casino is going to win from every bettor unless everybody just bet one of the lines and the other line won. So how does the 7-11 line, the pass line, win when it's not a 7 or 11? Well, then you show them, you know, what the puck is now moved to a 4, a 5, a 6 or 8, a 9 or a 10 because a 2, 3, 12 or a 7-11 wasn't rolled. One of those point numbers. And so the term is establishing the point. So the puck goes to, let's say, the 6. And so now that's the point. So the pass line is going to win if a 6 is rolled before a 7. The down pass line is going to win if a 7 is rolled before anybody throws a 6. There it is. That's the game in its essence. Now, you can increase your bets and get better odds with your bets by placing an odds bet behind it. So the pass line I'm talking about. So you have $5 on the pass line, and so there goes our 3-2-1 craps. If the number was a 4 or a 10, just put a $5 chip behind the one you have. And there's no designated area on the board that says odds behind the pass line. You see your $5 chip on the pass line, you put your odds bet right behind it. You cannot pick up your pass line bet. Once you place it, that's it. Once you put it down, I shouldn't say place. Once you put it down on that pass line, you can't pick it up. But the odds bet that you're putting down, you can pick that up between rolls. Never touch your chips at all when the dice are in the hand of a shooter. But for whatever reason, you want to take that $5 off that you have behind it, take it off in between rolls. Now, if the number is a 5 or a 9, put $10 behind that pass line of $5. If the number is a 6 or an 8, put $15. And obviously, why is there a difference? You know, you explain this to people. There's more ways to make a 6 or an 8 than there is to make a 5 or a 9 or a 4 or a 10. There's more ways to make a 5 or a 9 than there is to make a 4 or a 10. So the odds bet behind the line pays better on a 4 or a 10, pays better than on a 5 or 9, pays better than a 6 or an 8. But the 6 or 8 has more ways to be made than a 5 or a 9 or a 4 or a 10. And that's part of the game. Now, if you want to play odds in the down pass, it's a hard concept to embrace. You can, but you basically have to bet more to win less. And why is that? Because there's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. And so once the point is established, the don't pass player has a little bit of an advantage. I mean, not a great advantage, but a little bit of an advantage. And so the casino makes you put down more money to win less money. And it's different for every number. I don't want to go into it now, but you can do that. And there's a special way to put your odds bet on that don't pass line. You can't put it behind the line because behind the line, the next line down is the pass line. But you can put it right beside it. And if you don't know how to set it up, the dealer will set it up for you. You just say, I want to put $10 odds on this number, and they'll set it up for you. And once you see how they set it up, then you can set it up like that for the rest of your life, you know. What about place bets? Well, once you grasp the fact that either the pass line or the don't pass line is going to win a game, you can then talk about placing the 4, the 5, the 6, the 8, the 9, or the 10 by putting between rolls. Say you want to put $5 on the 4, on the 5, on the 9, or the 10. You just say to the dealer, here's $10, give me a $5 4 and a $5 5. There you go. If you want to put money on the 6 or 8, which is the most common thing that people do place, it's in increments of 6. So you say, give me a, here's $15, give me a $6 6 and a $6 8. And then they return the change because that was $12. They give you $3 back because you gave them $15. But you can't place it yourself. You put it on, you have to put it down in front of the dealer, take your hand off of it, and wait till it's your turn to bet. They'll go around and just put it down and say, hey. And then you can continue to press that up. Every time you win, you could say, you know, press it one unit, which means another $6. You win $7 on a $6 bet with a 6 and 8. And you can say, press it one unit. All right, so the next one that hits a 6 or an 8, now that you have $12 on it, you're going to get $14. So that's what it means by pressing. So just to go over that again, you know, with one person playing the don't pass and one person playing the pass, and then trying to involve odds behind the pass line or putting odds in the don't pass line, get that down, and then get into placing the 4, the 5, the 68, the 9, or the 10. And if you want to explain with a dollar what hard numbers are, you know, only one way to roll, you know, a hard 4, two twos, only one way to roll a hard 10, 5, 5. So it's the most difficult way to make it. And understand that if somebody rolls a 3, 1, 4, you lose the hard number. If somebody rolls a 6, 4, 10, you lose the hard number. So that's something that I truly believe is the best way, because otherwise, people have no idea what the don't pass line is all about. And they're kind of playing, I say it this way, you're kind of playing the piano with one hand, because there might be a time when the don't pass line on a very cold table where people are not making long rolls or rolling their point numbers, it might be the best way to play. So there's an option for you. That's how Casinos USA, and I must have, goodness, at least 100 people asked me to teach them how to play craps. And I say, okay, let's play craps together for, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And then, you know, you bet your way, and I'll bet my way. And, you know, that's totally in my way of thinking. How you bet, that's up to you. But I want to show you how the game works. And that's what I'm trying to do. Because if you're in a don't pass and I'm on the pass line, the only way the don't pass line can lose is on a 7 or 11. It's a push on a 12. On a pass line, on a come-out roll, you win on a 7-11, you lose on a 2-3-12. And then, if not, the point's established, and you go from there. And it's a simple game with a very complicated board. It's a very complicated board, I won't disagree. But once you get familiar with it, you know, over a couple visits to the casino, then you'll be teaching other people how to play. Hey, really had a good time talking to you today. It is sunny here in western Pennsylvania, as I mentioned, but waking up to 1 degree, that's a real thrill, buddy. Our little buddy Oliver, he didn't even want to go out and take a leak, man. He was saying, I'll hold it. I said, no, you won't. You get out there. All right. So, hey. All right. I also want to thank John for mentioning The Last Catholics. It's a serious book that I put out. It's a religious memoir, spiritual journey. You can get it everywhere where ebooks or iBooks are sold, Apple Store, Amazon, Kindle Books, for 99 cents, which is $1.05 with tax. If you want a soft copy, it's a beautiful book. It's $45. And so it's nice to know we've gone over 2,000 sales with the ebook or iBooks, and we're now at 40-some books where people paid the actual $45 because it's a very nice-looking book. And I'm really happy that John mentioned it, and I hope he enjoyed it. And he said he did, so that's really good. All right, Casinos USA is still that place where every day is Saturday. Let's hope for an early spring. See you in a couple of weeks. God bless.